Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We're kicking off the first show of this new year with our duty expert on Asia, Gordon Chang, a man you see frequently at Fox News, you read, I'm sure, at Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com and many other outlets as well. He has been very gracious with his time in the past, and we're looking forward to a new year of almost constant consultation with him, notably on events that are taking place that are quite dramatic at the moment in China. Gordon, as always, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
And Happy New Year, Frank.
And the same to you. I know you're much in demand at the moment, Gordon. We're catching you as some very big developments are taking place in the Chinese stock market, with the expectation that as we speak, there will be reverberations on our own in the course of the day today. What's going on in China? You've been forecasting the possible collapse of the Chinese economy. Is this a sign of it happening?
Yes. Today, Chinese authorities suspended trading in China's share markets pursuant to their new circuit breaker rules. And today was actually, coincidentally, the first day of applicability of these rules. Under the circuit breaker rules, share trading is suspended when it falls or rises more than a certain percentage, 7% in this case. And this is a problem because essentially Chinese investors now are starting to panic, largely because the lockup period on institutions is ending. This is a period when institutions can't sell shares. And also there was some very bad news out of the Chinese manufacturing sector, putting it all together. And this is going to rock markets around the world, as it already has in Europe.
Do you anticipate, Gordon, that the problems that you're describing are a one-off, or does this suggest that there is a much more systemic problem at work in China, and one that, as we've discussed in the past, has political and strategic overtones as well as economic?
These problems are systemic. The Chinese government is now engaged in a long-term struggle to keep its markets, share markets, and its currency up high. And the markets want to go lower, and essentially intervention has caused the markets to stay up for a little while, but nonetheless, investors at every opportunity are trying to drive them down. There's going to be a panic that's going to continue in the Chinese markets. This is going to translate into something that's going to affect us very directly. And that is because the Communist Party has derived its legitimacy on prosperity, it now has only one remaining basis of support, and that is nationalism. And this manifests itself in very provocative Chinese behavior against India, against Vietnam, other countries in the South China Sea, against Japan, and, of course, against us. And so, therefore, we're very directly connected to whatever happens in the Chinese economy and its share markets.
Gordon, let's talk about a couple of those provocative actions. One of them happening in real time is the landing of a Chinese plane at Fiery Cross Reef, inflaming the situation with Vietnam that claims that reef. What are the implications with respect to these folks who've gone to war in the past? Are we looking at that again?
Yes, well, Fiery Cross Reef is in the Spratlys, which is a group of islands in the southern portion of the South China Sea. And Fiery Cross Reef itself is a reclamation. It used to be just a very small feature. It has been built up with landfill, and the Chinese have put a military-style runway on that reef. Now, in the last few days, they landed a civilian plane there, but it's an issue of principle. And so the Vietnamese have lodged a protest with Beijing over the landing of that plane. The Philippines is going to follow suit. And clearly, this is a Chinese attempt to militarize, eventually, these reclamations.
And Gordon, there's another island chain that the Chinese clearly have their eyes on, close to Japan, and I'm not talking about the Sakakus. What are we hearing about the Ryukyus?
China in 2013 started a semi-official campaign to take the Ryukyu chain away from Japan. This is important because the largest island in that chain is Okinawa, and that's where more than half of U.S. military forces in Japan are based. At this point, which shows that China's ambitions are expanding, not contracting, and this is going to be an issue for us as China tries to push into the Pacific Ocean and challenge the United States in the Mariana Islands, where we have Guam, as well as maybe the rest of the Western Pacific.
And Gordon, the Chinese are making this play at a moment when the Japanese, as we've been discussing in recent weeks, are intensifying their own military capabilities and plans. The Asia Times has just reported a so-called secret plan of the Japanese for defending these islands and beyond, I guess, and in turn, the home islands of Japan against what might be coming from China. What do you know about this plan, and does it surprise you that this is being now discussed openly?
Japan, for the first time, is talking openly about how its plan to shift its forces from the northern islands down to the southern islands. And they're starting to say that this is directly because of Chinese attempts to take away the Senkakus and to challenge other Japanese claims. Now, Japan, in this upcoming defense budget, has proposed a 1.5% increase in spending, which doesn't sound like a lot according to us, but nonetheless, it is huge in the Japanese context. And it shows that there is bipartisan support in Japan to do more to defend the home islands against the new perceived threat, and that is China.
Do you anticipate, Gordon, that the Chinese will be dissuaded by what they see in terms of a, well, I guess it's being called an anti-access area denial capability on the part of the Japanese? They have, of course, the Chinese been making much of this kind of policy and posture against the United States in the Western Pacific. But is this likely to be the end of the matter, or do you anticipate that this will simply conduce to more serious intentions and possibly confrontations between the Chinese and the Japanese?
Because of the disorganization in the Chinese political system, I think it's going to be very difficult for Japan and the United States, as well as other countries, to try to deter China from more aggressive behavior. The Japanese have now got to the point where they are actually putting anti-air and anti-ship batteries on the islands in the Ryukyus as a way of trying to prevent the Chinese from grabbing an island from Japan. This is going to be one of the areas of contention, but it's not going to be the only one as we see China pushing out in all directions. And so, therefore, I'm concerned that China is not acting like a rational actor. It is going to act in ways that are going to surprise us and in ways which are actually going to be quite horrible.
Well, and as we've discussed for some time, Gordon, the principal audience for all of this may be internal, which is, again, a driving consideration that we cannot necessarily understand or anticipate with great confidence. Gordon, let me turn to one other piece of the Chinese drama at the moment. You've pointed out that the Chinese are now making demands in terms of access to high technology companies, specifically those in the communications business, I guess, digital and otherwise, namely that they want back doors, they want access to encrypted communications in China and the like. What do you anticipate will come of all of that?
January 1st is the first day of the applicability of China's new anti-terrorism law. And pursuant to that law, Chinese authorities have the ability to obtain encryption keys and other pieces of information that will allow Chinese authorities essentially to install backdoors in companies like Apple and the rest. And depending on what they obtain, they may be able to read communications not only in China, but around the world. And so clearly this is something that President Obama has been talking with the Chinese about. And he actually in March gave an interview to Reuters where he said, if the Chinese go forward with these proposals, American companies can't do business in China. That to me sounds like a red line, and I hope that he enforces this one.
Gordon Chang, as always, we appreciate your time, especially on so busy a day. Thank you for covering these very important and breaking stories for us, as you do so well each week. We look forward to talking with you again next week. In the meantime, stay well, my friend. Next up, Major General David Morris, the chairman of the Green Beret Foundation, joins us. We'll talk with him about what's happening to our veterans. But more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.